And I got saved in 1966. People say, where are you from? I say, I'm from New York and Florida. I was born in New York and Florida. First time in New York, second time in Florida, okay? Amen. So that's where it gives you an idea. And it was reading a Bible I got saved. And it was a King James Bible, by the way. And so it sure wasn't the church I was going to. They didn't ever preach the gospel. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm glad somebody gave me that Bible because I got saved. Well, anyway, we're going to be talking about Noah and the ark today. We're going to be dealing with the 10 most common questions that people have dealing with Noah and the flood. And as we deal with these questions, we're going to try to give you some answers because, you know, the Bible says that we ought to be able to give an answer to the hope that's within us. Amen? And the thing is that now we're not perfect. We know that. We don't have all the answers, but we can at least have some, you know. Now, the thing about it is we're going to be dealing with Noah and the ark, of course. We're going to be answering these questions, these 10 questions. All right, how big was the ark? What did it look like? Was the flood local or worldwide? Where did the water come from and where did the water go? And how could the water be higher than Mount Everest? And if you're going to get any question, this will be it. How could millions of animals fit on the ark? Now, that will probably be the number one. Also, they'll ask, were there dinosaurs on the ark? And if there were dinosaurs on the ark, they'll say, well, wouldn't the T-Rex eat all the other animals, okay? And was the earth different in Noah's time? The Bible says, for this they willingly are ignorant, that the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. 2 Peter chapter 3. Willingly ignorant, of course, means dumb on purpose. Now, that's what that means. Have you ever had someone that's dumb on purpose with you? It really irritates the fire out of me. And by the way, there's a whole lot of people dumb on purpose today, especially today, dealing with, number one, going to the right kind of church. Amen? There's a whole lot of people going to the wrong kind of churches today. And there's a whole lot of people reading the wrong kind of Bibles. Now, the thing is, people are willingly ignorant. They were willingly ignorant back then. They're willingly ignorant today. Now, in order to understand science in the Bible, when I say Bible now, of course, I'm not talking about any modern version. I'm talking about the King James Bible. And when I say science, I'm talking about true science. There's a whole lot of things called science out there that's not science. For instance, like you came from an ape. That's not science. That's just plain stupid. That's a philosophy. Amen? Amen? Now listen to me closely. Red, yellow, black, or white, they are precious in His sight. Amen? And let me tell you something. It's not the matter of race. It's the matter that you are a human, no matter what your skin color is. Amen? Amen. All right? And so let's be abundantly clear about that. There's a whole lot of stuff that's dealing with race today. It's not the matter of race. It's a matter of sin with some people, if you understand what I'm saying. But no, when it comes to your skin color, you are a human being. You are not an animal. Animals don't have a God consciousness. Animals don't have conscience, period. Okay? They, you know, you do. You know right from wrong. Amen? Amen. And the thing about it is you've got a whole lot of stuff going on today that's taught to these young people. No wonder they're acting like animals. All you have to do is listen to the newspaper, to the news on TV and all the rest of that, and you find out real quick that people are acting like a bunch of animals today. Now, in order to understand science in the Bible, we must not be ignorant of two great events in Earth's history. This is very important. First has to deal with creation. Today, they're trying to get you to deny creation. Okay, now you say, well, how did they do that? Well, let me put it this way. You cannot go to a museum. You cannot watch an animal program on TV. You cannot go to the Grand Canyon or almost anywhere today without them saying millions and millions of years ago. Amen? So what are they doing? They're denying Genesis 1 is what they're doing. So basically, the bottom line is this. When someone talks to you about millions and millions of years ago, just remember this, somebody's getting ready to lie to you. Amen? All right? So listen to me now. When they say millions and millions of years ago, someone's getting ready to what?
Lie.
Good. So just, you say, well, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to brainwash you the other way. Amen? Okay? The right way. So all I'm saying is they tried to deny the creation. They also tried to deny the flood. But folks, you got a big problem with millions of animals being buried with a local flood.
Right.
It won't work. It just won't work. They know that. And so you have literally all over the world, millions and millions of animals buried in mass graves. And that's how they got buried was a universal worldwide flood. Over 250 flood legends have been found all around the world. Most are similar to the Genesis story. Destruction of entire earth by water. Some means of salvation, a boat, turtles, something like that from the flood. One complete family and all the animals were saved. Why in Mexico have their flood stories? Also, the Babylonians and the Chinese. And it's interesting, in the Chinese language, that the symbol for boat is a vessel with eight people. Wonder where they got that, you know. Now, also, why was there a flood? Well, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And we find out that back in those days, people were pretty wicked. And they had stealing back in those days. I'm glad that we don't have stealing today. Isn't that a blessing, you know? Now, all I'm saying is this. I remember as a young man, we never locked our house unless we went on a trip. Seriously. As a matter of fact, we left the keys in the car when we went downtown to go grocery shopping. Don't do that today. Okay? I don't care if you're driving the worst piece of junk in the country, they will steal it. Okay? And also, you know, the thing is, I remember as a young man, I live right beside a church, and I go over there every night and pray because it was open. It wasn't locked. Right. 2 years ago, my wife and I went to that place, and guess what? We couldn't get into church. They're locking it now. So all I'm saying is, it's not evolution, it's devolution. Goodbye. You see? I think the Europeans have a perfect way of pronouncing evolution. They say evolution. I think that's wonderful, you know? And I think that's the proper way to say it. Now, so they're stealing, and of course, you don't have to go very far to find out about murder. All you have to do is listen to the news on the TV. Amen?
Yeah,
sure. Or go down the block. You know what I'm saying. Now, we find out, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created. So God said, I'm fed up. I'm going to get rid of mankind. And why? Because of all the sin and all the wicked things that he was doing. Was the flood local or global? In other words, small area or all over the world? Now, listen to this. This is real profound. Why build a huge ark for a local flood? It wouldn't make any sense. And Noah was not stupid. Now think about this. If you were in perfect health for 900 years, don't you think that you might be able to learn something?
Yes.
Amen?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Now we're not there at all. We're going to find that out very, very quickly in just a few minutes. But I'll tell you this. If you were in perfect health and were able to live for 950 years as Noah lived, let me tell you something. That guy was a genius. I'm telling you. As a matter of fact, the ark was an engineering masterpiece. A lot of people don't realize that. Now, we find out, what was the earth like before the flood? Well, I believe that the world was surrounded by a protective water vapor canopy, which protected it from harmful radiation. And this created a greenhouse tropical environment. Now, listen to me now. Before the flood, there were no deserts. Before the flood, there were no ice caps. Before the flood, there were no extremes in temperature. It was a beautiful, basically, paradise on earth is what it was. So before the flood, it was very, very different. And by the way, there's no such thing as prehistoric. That is a stupid statement. How do you get history before history?
Yeah.
Amen?
No,
it's pre-flood. So whenever they talk about the fossil evidence, just remember, it's not millions of years ago. It's something that happened in the flood, if you get what I'm saying. So we find out solar radiation causes aging, and without radiation, people could live over 900 years of age. Basically, the bottom line is, folks, whether you like it or not, every day that you live, you're being slowly poisoned to death. Seriously. Gamma rays, infrared rays, UV light, all the rest of that is hitting you right now. It wasn't the way it was. It was different before. So all I'm saying is now we are slowly being poisoned to death. Then you wonder why in the world we have cancer and we have, heart problems and liver problems and all the rest of that, you know. That's the reason why, because right now, even as you sit here, gamma rays, deadly gamma rays, and by the way, you will not turn into the Incredible Hulk if you get gamma rays. That is just nothing but something for Marvel Comics. Amen? That's it. And so gamma rays are going through your body even as you sit here right now. And they're deadly. They're not for your health. So we find out without radiation, people could live over 900 years of age. Now, a canopy overhead would increase air pressure, putting more oxygen into the water, increasing the number and the size of the fish. So up here you have the canopy, then you have the earth, and then the water underneath the earth. And remember, the early earth was not all broken up like what we see today. It's totally different. Where did the water come from for the flood? Well, the main source was the fountains of the great deep, which are located in heaven. The Bible says, praise him, ye heavens of heavens, the waters that be above the heavens. Psalm 148. There was also a special reservoir of water under the crust of the earth. And so water under the crust of the earth created great pressure inside the earth. So you have the canopy, you have the earth, you have the water under that crust of the earth. And by the way, the earth was very, very different in the way it worked back in those days. For the Bible says, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Genesis chapter 2. Now today we're used to rain, but before the flood it did not rain. It was hydroponically grown all over the world. Now, that many of you probably are familiar with hydroponically grown tomatoes and so forth in Florida. Amen? But, you know, not everything is grown that way today. But back before, it did not rain, and everything was beautiful and lush and wonderful, and it grew abundantly. Seriously. And so the thing is, it was totally different than what we see today. And if you've ever done any farming, and I was raised on a farming, it's blood, sweat, and tears to get anything to grow without the weeds and the bugs and everything taking over and all the rest. Amen? Sure. So all we see now, the earth was watered differently before the flood. Because the earth had more oxygen, one creation said this, a young person of 18 could be able to run 200 miles before he got tired. Now, don't try that today. Amen? Okay. And matter of fact, many of us would have a hard time just running around the church, much less 200 miles. Amen? So here we have, because the earth had more oxygen, things grew bigger and lived longer. Now, that's common sense. We already know that people lived longer. Amen? But so did animals. So did plants. They grew bigger and all the rest of that. As a matter of fact, cattails grew up to 60 feet tall. And folks, that's as tall as a tree. So we're talking a totally different kind of growth and vegetation and everything else. People say, well, what did the dinosaurs eat? Are you kidding? They had plenty to eat. The thing that really irritates the fire out of me is you will open up a book on dinosaurs and they got the dinosaurs sitting on a desert. Now, folks, I don't know, care what you say, dinosaurs cannot eat sand. Amen? You see? So all I'm saying is you have a lot of stuff that's being promoted today that's just plain stupid. But 60-foot cattails. As a matter of fact, this seed pod right here, this brown seed pod, as you see here, many of us have seen cattails. I've seen thousands of them. Amen? Sure. Okay, that seed pod would have been pretty close to 7 feet tall. Now, that sort of gives you an idea of the comparisons there, and that's why I do that. So we find out this bird here grew 25 feet across from wingtip to wingtip and weighed 200 pounds. The flight feather over here, this one flight feather, would have been 5 to 5.5 feet long. Now, folks, this bird here that we see here that has been discovered in fossil evidence, and they found him, we find out that that bird could not even get off the ground in today's atmosphere. So it couldn't even get off the ground at all. Rhinos stood 18 feet tall and 30 feet long. And that's the size of 4 elephants. Now, when's the last time you saw a rhino that big? You haven't. The reason is because we don't see things growing big like that today. But back in those days, they did. So they're very, very big creatures. Unbelievably big. I've got a whole presentation, matter of fact, dealing with that one subject alone, of the humongous animals and plants and insects and everything that are in the past. Also, giant pterodactyls could not fly in their present atmosphere. Pterodactyls got quite big. As a matter of fact, here, as you can see, a small one and a medium one here and this big one here, up to 50 feet across from wingtip to wingtip. I'm so glad that pterodactyls don't fly today. Knowing my luck, I'd be walking down the road and they'd look down at me and he'd say, uh-huh, McMuffin, and I'd be the McMuffin, you know what I mean. But I'm glad they don't fly today. You say, well, pterodactyls got real big. Yes, they did. As a matter of fact, they got up to 18 feet tall and weighed up to 500 pounds. Now, that's a lot of people don't realize how big they got. They really got big. Also, this is a hyperbaric chamber by Dr. Carl Ball in Glen Rose, Texas. And I really recommend going there. That's where you have the dinosaurs and the human tracks crossing. That's where it is, okay? And by the way, his museum costs a whopping $2 a person. When's the last time you've been to a museum for $2? Amen? No, so here's the thing. He's been at NASA's request. He's been sharing his discoveries. We find out result number one, the lifespan of fruit flies tripled. So fruit flies live 3 times longer. Aren't you glad mosquitoes don't live 3 times longer? Amen? I hate those things. My wife and I, we went to the West Indies on a mission trip down there. We went down there for about 30 days. And God was real good. We saw a lot of people get saved and so forth. But I'm going to tell you something. The first 2 days that we were down there, my wife had over 200 mosquito bites. Now, folks, whether you know it or not, you can have allergic reaction to those things. You really can, just like bees. But, you know, praise the Lord, somebody had some medicine down there, and we were able to get that taken care of. But have you ever had just one that just drove you nuts, you know? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Much less 200. So we find out the lifespan of fruit flies tripled. Now, here's the one that really got my attention right here. And I've been to Glen Rose. I've talked to them personally. I've talked to them on the phone to verify this. We find out that they did a study on poisonous snakes, venomous snakes. So we find out, now this one here is a copperhead. They also did that with a diamondback rattlesnake. They put these snakes in this hyperbaric chamber. Now, for you young people that are here, a hyperbaric chamber is where they pump in extra oxygen. That's what that is. Now, we find out what they found out, that poison, venomous snakes becomes non-poisonous after a certain amount of period of time. So, ladies and gentlemen, before the flood, you did not have to worry about poisonous snakes. There were snakes, but they weren't poisonous. Big, big thing, big change. Also, hyperbaric chambers are used by hospitals to speed up the healing processes. They treat the very sick, the severely burned. Also, to treat divers suffering from the bends. We find out a diver go down too far and come up too quick and get what is called the bends. Many of you in Florida, you know what I'm talking about because there's a lot of water down here and so forth. As a matter of fact, a person that gets the bends, it can not only be agonizingly painful, but also deadly. It can kill them. So they use hyperbaric therapy. Now, hyperbaric therapy helps young cerebral palsy patients. It's El Paso Times 2000. This young child is being helped. They find that it helps the child function better with the extra oxygen. So that's very important. Now, this one you're all familiar with, 18-month-old Jessica McClure, trapped in an 8-inch well for 58 and a half hours, Texas, 1987. This little girl was walking in a backyard in Texas. And by the way, I've been in Texas. And as a matter of fact, I'll be there next year, Lord willing. And in Texas, they have wells everywhere, no joke. And this little girl was walking in the backyard, fell down this well, and one leg went up, one leg went down. With the leg that went up, turned black, they said, oh, no, we're going to have to cut off her leg. Instead, they used hyperbaric oxygen treatment. Her leg and foot were saved. Only her little toe was amputated, and here she is at the White House. Notice both legs, talking to the news media there. And by the way, Jessica's all grown up now. She's married and has a little boy about 4 or 5 years of age. And not crippled, by the way. What was the earth like after the flood? Now, remember, before the flood, there's a protective vapor canopy. It didn't rain. The water came up from the ground and so forth. It was a hyperbaric situation. And the water came from below and watered the whole face of the ground and so forth. So it was very, very different than what we see today. Now, today, after the flood, we find out that there's less oxygen. As a matter of fact, all of you have seen people come in with oxygen tanks and so forth and need those oxygen tanks. They have these new generators now where they're small and portable, easier to carry around and so forth. And so you've seen those. Amen? Well, I believe that many animals could not survive and died out because of a climate change. There was less oxygen, all the rest of that. And, of course, they didn't have those tanks like what we have. Amen? Now, so we find out people do not live as long as they used to. Adam lived for 930 years. Methuselah lived for 969 years. Noah lived for 950. And by the way, Shem only lived for 600. So Shem immediately lost 350 years on his lifespan because of that flood. And of course, as you go down through history, we find out Abraham lived for 175 years. Moses for 120. As a matter of fact, if you live for 120 years, you'll hit worldwide news. Guarantee it. But we don't live like that anymore. As a matter of fact, David lived for 70 years. If you live over 70 years, God has been very, very good to you. Amen? That's the thing. And by the way, God has been real good to you. If you're saved, God has been really good to you. Amen? Now, so we find out, what did the ark look like? This is what you all came to see. Amen? Are you ready? Okay, here we go. Well, anyway, not this one. This is a toy that you'll find in a toy store. And, of course, many people think that Christians believe that the ark looks like that. And we don't. We know that. You don't believe that that's the ark. Amen? You know? All right. Now, here's the thing. No, that one won't work. Now, here's another one that you'll see in a Christian book store, you know, in a Christian book. And no wonder many people don't believe in the ark because they think Christians are stupid. And you're not. You don't think that's the ark. You know better than that. Amen? Sure. Okay. All I'm saying is this. We know better. Now, the ark doesn't look like that at all. The ark was very, very different. As a matter of fact, the Bible is very, very clear on many of the descriptions dealing with the ark. Now, how big was the ark? The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. Now, for most of you, you don't know what I just said because you're not used to measuring in cubits. You're used to measuring in inches and feet and yards, right? So we're going to boil this down. We're going to talk about what is a cubit. A cubit goes from the end of the elbow to the tip of the finger. Now, that will determine how big it was, will determine on how tall you are. Seriously. Here's my cubit over here. All right. That's mine. And this is a friend of mine's right beside me here. He's got a 20 and a half inch cubit, and I have an 18 inch cubit. Now, obviously, if he makes an ark and I make an ark, his ark is going to be bigger than my ark. That's just common sense. But we're going to go with my size for the sake of the fact that just showing you that it can be done. Now, a small cubit, 18 inches, that means that the ark would have been 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Now, whether you know it or not, 450 feet is quite a good distance. It really is. If you don't believe me, tape it off sometime. Have a person standing at one end of the tape. You go to the other end of 450 feet. You'll be surprised how small that person looks at the other end. The ark had three decks, not just one. So that's three times the storage capacity in the ark. Not just one deck, but three times the storage capacity. How did Noah get all those animals to the ark? Well, Noah did not have to. God brought them to him. Genesis chapter 6 says, "They shall come unto thee." They shall come to thee. Now, the most common question asked about Noah's ark is, how could millions of animals fit on one small boat? Now, if you're really, what they're trying to do is they're trying to make you look stupid, is what they're trying to do when I say that. You understand that? So this is what you do. Number one, you walk up to them and say, "Well, how big was the ark?" You know what they'll say? "I don't know." Seriously, they won't know. And then you say, "Well, how many animals would be required to be on that ark? Come on, tell me exactly." You know what they'll say? "I don't know." So what you do is you throw the ball in their lap and make them look stupid, not you. That's the idea. You know what? There's a whole lot of people parroting, and boy, I tell you, when you get close to a college town, you find that out real quick. These young people, they'll parrot what they've heard and not think about what they've said. You know what a parrot is? A parrot is a bird that speaks but doesn't have a lick of sense. Saw one yesterday, matter of fact. Went to a flea market. This guy had a parrot there and says, and the man says, "Say goodbye." And bird goes, "Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye." You know, doesn't have a lick of idea of what he's saying. Not really. You know, he's just trained to do that. So a lot of people are trained certain ways and don't have any sense about what they're doing. Amen. Now, how could millions of animals fit in one small boat? Well, kinds are not the same as species. That's very, very important for you to understand. God told Noah to bring two of each kind out of each species or variety. That's important. That would greatly reduce the number of animals needed on the ark. Noah had only two of the dog kind, not hundreds. Now, let me say this. We find out that today we have almost 7 billion people in the world today. That's what we have. Okay, red, yellow, black, or white, they are precious in his sight. Now, but where did they start? Adam and Eve. No, not Adam and Steve. Adam and Eve, amen? Okay? And so we find out that Adam and Eve, but they had all the genetic information needed for all the other people that we see in this room even. We've got a lot of varieties in this room. Probably Asian, blacks, whites, you know, Europeans. All, amen? Sure we do. So we have a lot of varieties even in this room. And so that means that, yes, you are all humans. You're all humans. Amen? You understand that? I want to make that abundantly clear. And so the thing is that, you know, they used to think that certain people weren't humans before. Well, guess what? We know that they are. Amen? As a matter of fact, you go over to the book of Acts, you find out that the Bible says one blood. One blood, see? Now, Noah had only two other dog kind. But remember, those dogs had all the genetic information needed for all the other dog kind, which that would include the wolves, the coyotes, the foxes, dogs, jackals, hyenas, dingoes, all from a single canine kind. Now, this is probably closer to the original gene pool, this wolf here. This one's not too friendly, as you can see. Okay, but unfortunately, the dog kind has gone downhill and downhill and downhill until you come up to something like this. This is a German Shepherd. And by the way, I like German Shepherds. I really do. But German Shepherds do have a genetic problem. They have what is called a hip problem. And that hip problem can become so bad that the poor animal gets crippled and in misery and in pain all the time until the owner has to put the poor animal out of his misery and put him away. Unfortunately, the dog kind has gone downhill and downhill and downhill and downhill until you come up with something like this. Now, this is a real loss of genetic information. This, I think they call that a poodle or something. I'm not really sure. But I know this, I would not own one, okay? You say, "Well, that's terrible. Dog kind's really gone downhill." Yeah, but not as bad as this one. Now, this is the world's ugliest dog, and I believe it. It got an award, no joke, award for being the world's ugliest dog. Man, can you imagine? You know, now, remember this. Did you know that geneticists know that evolution cannot be true? They know that. Yeah. Now, think about this. Genetically, everything is going downhill. It's not going up. It's going down. Did you know that there's almost 5,000 genetic disorders and diseases in the human race right now? And it's getting worse. And by the way, it's compounding and compounding and compounding all the time. So it's increasing more and more and more. It's like a domino effect. It's the one starts it off, and boy, the next thing you know, you have a whole lot. So the thing is now look at this guy. He's no teeth. He's blind, no hair. This woman had this dog in her house as a pet, and I said, a pet? I wouldn't touch it, you know? So I wouldn't have that. Now, we find out, how did those huge dinosaurs fit on the ark? Noah did not have full-grown adults on the ark. He had younger, smaller animals aboard. The healthiest of any species of animal is the young. They're stronger, faster, more apt to reproduce. They also sleep more. This is a big, huge dinosaur here. Notice this 18-foot giraffe here. We find out Noah did not have to have the big, full-grown one. He could have had that little one right there that's sitting there. So, only land-dwelling, air-breathing animals are on the ark. Water dwellers, which account for a large percentage of the world's animals, could survive on their own. So Noah did not have to worry about dolphins and whales and fish and all the rest of that. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, Genesis chapter 7. How many animals were needed on the ark? Well, Dr. Morris and Whitcomb, in their classic book, The Genesis Flood, state, now these are two experts in the field, they say no more, remember, how many dogs? Two, okay? No more than 35,000 kinds of animals would be needed. So the question, that means that 28% of the ark was required for the animals. That's less than one-third of the space on that ship, on that boat. The question is not, how could Noah fit all those animals in the ark? My question is, what in the world did he do with all that room? Well, I think I have an answer. I think that God provided extra room for anyone else that wanted to be saved. There's no way you're going to convince me that someone that drowned in the water can shake their fist in Noah's face, say, no, it's all your fault. I drowned in the water because there just wasn't enough room on the boat. No, no, no. No, there's plenty of room. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, whosoever will may come, right? Does everybody come? No. Is that God's fault? No. You see? So it's not God's fault that people don't come. Now, did the meat-eating animals eat the other animals? Well, no, they did not, because you see, all animals and people were vegetarians before and during the flood. To every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, Genesis chapter 1, verse 30. But what about those sharp teeth? Aren't they for eating meat? Well, let me put it this way. This guy has long, sharp teeth, but you know, panda bears are vegetarian. Have you ever tried to eat bamboo? Please don't. It's tough, okay? I've seen panda bears take a one-inch stalk of bamboo, take that thing and break that off like it was nothing, you know? Now, if you took a one-inch stalk of bamboo and tried to break that off, your teeth would be 25 feet over there, okay? Whether they were real or false, okay? Now, panda bears are vegetarian. Look at the teeth on these guys here, these monkeys here. Notice the teeth on these guys. Now, these monkeys only eat fruit. So just because an animal has long, sharp teeth, it does not mean that he's a meat eater. Now, this is what they would normally be a meat eater, is an African lion. This African lion that would not eat meat, she refused to eat meat or blood. Here she is in a butcher shop. The guy's offering her a piece of meat, and she's going, yuck, no joke. This lion never ate meat one time in her life, never drank blood. She lived on grain, raw eggs, and milk. By 4 years of age, she weighed 352 pounds. And by the way, if a 352-pound African lion walked in that door, I guarantee there'd be extra exits this way, okay? Now, to condition her stomach, she'd eat grass. And you've never taught your dog one time to eat grass. That comes naturally, amen? That's a God-given wisdom to that animal. Now, you've never taught that dog one time. I've had six dogs. Never one time did I ever teach them. Now, all I'm saying is God gives God-given wisdom to certain animals, and they have that. Now, the sight of a lioness living with sheep and cattle is a reminder of Isaiah 11. The lion will eat straw like the ox. So here's a lion and a sheep right side by side. Was the ark square or pointed? Well, boats shaped like this tip over easy and rough water. God designed the ark to float upright in violent storms and huge waves of a global flood. The length is 6-to-1 ratio is what shipbuilders today often use. This is the best ratio for stability in stormy weather. The ark could easily have survived a 200-foot wave without capsizing. Indonesia, 2004, did you know that some of the largest waves they had were 33 feet? 240,000 people died, 250,000 people. Now, that's the ones they found. That's not the ones they didn't find. It became fish food. Unbelievable damage. It wasn't just Indonesia. It was 15 different countries were affected. We find out, notice here, these are body bags, and these are young people. Now, let me say this. Just because you're young doesn't mean that you're going to be alive tomorrow. You can't guarantee that. There's nobody in this room that can guarantee you'll be alive tomorrow. Did the ark run into any mountains? No, it did not, because you see, today's mountains did not exist until after the flood. The top 3,000 feet of Mount Everest is made up of sedimentary rock packed with seashells and other ocean-dwelling animals. And the only way it could have gotten there is that mountain was underneath water at one time. Where did the water go? The Bible says the flood ended, the mountains lifted up, the valley sank down, the water hasted away. Noah, the animals entered the ark. Can you believe all those people saw the animals arrive, entered the ark, and still did not believe Noah? Now think about that. What if you saw 35,000 animals walking down the road and walk into a big building down the road? Wouldn't that get your attention? Amen? Well, guess what? It got their attention. They just didn't respond. Noah called out to them, but they hardened their hearts. They chose to reject salvation. Noah gave the invitation for anyone to enter. Only Noah's immediate family of 8 people entered the ark of safety. No one else did. God closed the door. And by the way, it was God that closed the door, not Noah. The earth broke open. There's a ring of fire around the earth today. You can see all these plate tectonics and all broken up all around the world today. There was a breaking up of the earth. Large fissures appeared in the ground. The waters that had been held under pressure inside the earth exploded with great violence. This here shows the subterranean water, this picture. Notice the water broke open. Water from below shot up into the atmosphere. The protective canopy was destroyed. Water came from above and from below. The rain from the sky lasted 40 days and nights. That's what most of you are familiar with. A crack raced around the earth. The fountains of the deep burst open. Unbelievable rain. Explosions. Earthquake. Lightning. Thunder. Tornadoes. Volcanoes. Unbelievable damage all taking place at one time. Giant, huge hurricanes. Unbelievable weather. If you think one hurricane is bad, can you imagine all this? Unbelievable rain. Notice this, thousands of people died. Giant tsunamis. Thousands of animals being buried in mass graves. And his family had peace and safety in the ark. God protected him. And that's all we have time for right now. But I want to say this. If you're not saved, I really want to plead with you. Please get saved, because you don't know how long you have. And I hope and pray that you'll remember that the Bible is true. The Bible is true. Amen? Yeah.